CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We take this time and set it aside every weekday afternoon to do this very thing of answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events from a biblical perspective, and what we hear in church, is it even in the Bible at all? And so if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN. We have some lines open. You're sure to get on if you call right now. Joining me today, special guest and featured CSN speaker, a chosen generation, Morning Times here on CSN. We have with us Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all the listeners out there. Great to be with you once again on this Thursday. Looking forward to the program and the great questions that always come in. Seeing that people are hungry and thirsting for the Word of God, there's nothing more exciting for pastors to hear from them and to know that they want to grow in their faith and fall deeper in love with Jesus and to be used by our Lord Jesus Christ each and every day and to bless one another. So good to be with you, Mike.
Always a blessing to be with you. And again, we got so many things going on in the world. I mean, common sense has left the world.
And I
believe that that is a real truth because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You reject Jesus, you reject truth. Lies now become believable. I mean, a person whose nation was invaded by Hamas now is wanted by the international court. They want to arrest Bibi Netanyahu. Are you serious? I mean, these people are just insane. And this is where we're at in a world right now. Nothing makes any sense. What's wrong is right. Right is wrong. You know, you can commit high crimes. Not a thing is said. If they don't like you, they'll make something up against you. It's just, you know, Jesus spoke about this time. And over the years, you look back, you know, 20 years ago and you thought, well, wow, it's really crazy. Then it's into the stratosphere now. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, Mike, as we looked at what's going on in our world and this anti-Semitism across our universities and across the world itself, and these nations that are now siding with Palestine from, I think it's Ireland to Spain to Norway, they're making commitments and so forth. I just read that, where is he from? It's, Ortega, they want to put a embassy in Ramallah there and so, not Ramallah, it's in the West Bank, there in Jerusalem. So you see this work that's taking place against Israel and so forth. And this shows the signs of the last days because the Lord says that, you know, the whole world will be against the Jewish people, ultimately. And we're seeing it line up. And of course, they're going to be against the God of Israel, which is Yahweh, and against his son, Jesus Christ. And Psalm 2 declares this, says all the nations will be against the Lord. And I love what it says. And God shall laugh. It's good to know that God has that sense of humor, right, through the process. He's going to just laugh at them and say, are you serious? You're really going to come against me? And, you know, when we look to the Ezekiel war, Mike, as these invading nations are spoken of from Iran, aligned with Russia, aligned with Turkey, aligned with Islamic countries, as they invade from the north, the Bible says that God will intervene for his name's sake. God will fight against them for Israel's sake also. And he will destroy the enemies of Israel. They're in the northern region of Israel. And so, these are exciting days to study Bible prophecy. These are exciting days to share our faith because everything that's happening in our world right now is springboards into us sharing our faith and testifying of the Word of God and of Jesus Christ and the power of who he is and what he can do in our lives. The world is living in darkness. And as you said, Mike, great confusion and stupidity. Right is wrong and wrong is right and so forth. I just read an article this morning that there's been over 1,000 earthquakes spreading through California and they're ready for the big one. So, and the Lord said there'll be earthquakes that'll be multiplying in the last days and so forth. So these are exciting times for believers. Great time to share our faith. Folks, invite your unsaved family and friends to the church this Sunday. Don't wait another second. We get done after the program, of course. Invite them, text them, invite them to church. Let's get them saved. Let's get them going for God. I love it, Mike. Great to be with you.
Let's Amen. Looking forward to answering some questions with you. And with that, we will go to the phones. We have Peyton on the line, Lovelock, Nevada. Hi and welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How may we help?
Great.
Fabulous. So I was reading Mark 9 in regards to Jesus healing the possessed boy. I've been seeing a lot of content of pastors doing deliverances, and I guess I was just seeing the correct way. I guess how could you tell that someone is truly possessed versus not, and the way to get that demon out, I suppose.
Yeah, how do you know if a person's demon-possessed or whether they're just acting abnormally? I believe when it goes deep, that's when you know that there's something else at work here. Also, you can challenge the spirit and say, in the name of Jesus, who are you? And I believe that's where the Bible tells us that Satan will and the demons will fess up who they are. Jesus asked that of the man of Gadara, what is your name? He's Legion, for we are many. We do know that demon possession is real. Now, how does it, first of all, does a person get demon possessed? I believe God puts into all humans a natural defense against demonic activity, Christian or non-Christian. However, through drugs, through the occult, getting into Ouija boards and getting into seances and, these kinds of things, I believe we can open ourselves up and take away that natural defense that God gives us against being possessed, and then the devils move in. That person is no longer their own self. Now they're just being used by the devil, and it isn't a good experience. We remember the woman who had the spirit of divination. She could tell fortunes, but the Bible says she was owned by her masters. We find the guy at Gadara, again, possessed with many devils. He would cut himself, live in the tombs, and all. So when we understand the devil never does humanity good, it always does him harm, we realize that he needs a body to move into, the demons do, to do their devious work. And so I believe that this is how a person gets demon-possessed. Now, how do you get undemon-possessed? The Bible tells us that greater is he that's in us, speaking of Jesus Christ, than he that's in the world. When Paul he would pray for people, people were healed, and also people were delivered from demons. We remember that there was a group of vagabond exorcists that were going around casting demons out of people. And they said when they came across a real demon-possessed person, they said, the Jesus that Paul speaks of, we adjure you. And the demon-possessed man said, Paul, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? And the man leaped on these seven brothers, tore all their clothes off, and the last we find in Scripture, they're running naked. So it is a real issue. Demons are real, and their devastation that they inflict upon the person they have possessed is just absolutely unbelievable, as it was in the Bible. The guy's son throwing himself into the water and into the fire, the Bible says. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, when you're dealing with someone who possibly could be demon-possessed, I always just ask him, is Jesus your Lord? And the demon won't permit them to say Jesus is their Lord. And you'll discover, usually, and you continue to talk about Jesus, you'll get some type of a reaction that will take place within that demon and that individual. Now, I have seen also there's sometimes the demon likes to go dormant and kind of play hide and seek. And you have to just continue that process of discovery because he doesn't want to be cast out. He finds him comfortable in that abode. But if the individual wants to pray and ask Christ to come in his heart, he may then begin to cause all kinds of contortions and so forth within the individual and screaming and so forth because he's trying to scare you off so that you do not continue to pursue this relieving that person of the demon possession. They're demonized. So it is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare. Jesus says some demons will not come out except through prayer and fasting. And so we have to be prepared as believers for what God is dealing with. And it's important to always just be strong in the Lord. Don't let the devil intimidate you. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And we're strong, and the Lord is our authority. The Lord is our strength, and he's the one that's going to deliver that individual. So stay confident in him and just continue to pursue what God is doing. Now, I have come across some people. It's not a demon. Sometimes they just have a chemical imbalance, and they're acting out in voices they may be hearing in their head and so forth. And that's a whole other aspect of counseling that we have to get involved in and deal with that individual. But I've just generally, as Micah shared also, is just to ask him, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Can you tell me that? And they won't be able to tell you that. That's one thing I have discovered. Mike?
Amen. So I hope that does that answer your question, Peyton?
Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys so much.
Yeah, and a Christian never needs to be fearful of that. However, Jesus did say some only come out by prayer and fasting. So I think we always need to be instant in season and out of season, as the Bible says, because we don't know when such a opportunity will present itself to us. But I believe that power that Jesus has given us to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means will hurt us. Now, I believe that's so important because we are ambassadors for the Most High to do spiritual warfare here on this earth against the prince of darkness and his demons. And so I believe that we have to meet that challenge in Jesus' name. And I always tell everybody this, always keep Jesus between you and the devil. You don't say, I adjure you, devil. No, in the name of Jesus, adjure you out in Jesus' name. There's no authority that we have in ourselves. Our authority comes from God. And so do I believe that there is an increase in demonic activity in the United States as far as people being demon possessed? Absolutely. The legalization of so many hallucinogenic drugs and all these different things that we've seen that were once really not in this nation because of our heritage, as we've departed from Christ, as we've departed from God, now I believe we're seeing more and more people under the bondage of Satan being possessed. And so, yeah, I do believe that it is going to become more of an issue in the days to come, just as it was in the days of Jesus and still in so many parts of the world today. So, Peyton, I hope that helps. Stay in line. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. I think will encourage you, okay?
Thank you so much.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Gilbert, Las Vegas. Gilbert, are you there?
Oh, Mark, Pastor Mark, Pastor Mike, and yes. And your man from Oahu, from Hawaii.
Yeah, Pastor Darryl.
I'll take that. It's good enough for me.
I've been over there a while. It's been so long ago. I don't know if he knows where Port DeRussy is. If it's still even there, I don't know.
It's still there.
Port DeRussy, is that right?
You got it. You got it. That's towards Waikiki.
It's still there. It's still there. I was there a long time. I was in Vietnam, met my wife, and we went R&R. Hey, the reason I'm calling, I'm just going to comment. I'll get off the air. You just talked about demons with this lady, and I think I understood. You said demons cannot possess a believer, but they can and will possess an unbeliever. Now, but the demons can possess us from the outside. I know that because I get them. They after me all the time. It don't matter how old you are. I'm 86. It don't matter. Because I'm growing. He's been my daddy for 66 years. And I know that they definitely get after me because I'm a preacher. I'm ordained and all that. And I go out and witness and I got in my car. I got in the back of my car, trusting Jesus Christ only and everything. And I'm out there with it and putting out flyers and stuff. And the demons are definitely after me, but they can't possess a believer. That's correct, right? I mean, I guess I heard you. Maybe I didn't hear you tell her that.
No, I don't believe a Christian can be demon possessed. We know that the devil does come after us because Paul says to resist the fiery darts of the enemy. So we know that we have a real formidable foe on this earth, very, very clearly defined all the way through Scripture, Old Testament and New. So we were very much aware of that. But as far as them dwelling internally in you, there's a lot of bad teaching circulating around lately about, you know, people that are Christians having demons living inside of them and things like that. And, you know, the Bible very clearly says, can a spring bring forth good water and bad water at the same time? No. So we very much are aware that when you ask Christ into your temple, this is where he lives. However, I do believe that the devil can really oppress many, many people in many different ways. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, Paul the Apostle says to us, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then he tells us to put on the full armor of God. In other words, be prepared for warfare. Believers cannot be demon possessed. Light and darkness cannot inhabit the same temple, if you will. We are now born again of the Holy Spirit. We have the light of Jesus Christ within us. The Holy Spirit has filled our temple. And now the devil will try to deceive us. He'll try to tempt us. He'll try to come against us or oppress us, as we say, in a variety of ways. But there is not, also we must understand, there's not this demon of lust. That's the work of the flesh. Lust is the work of the flesh. Don't say, oh, the demon of lust got me. Or the demon of smoking has got me. No, you're putting a cigarette in your mouth. Or the demon of alcohol. No, there's not a demon of alcohol. It's called booze and you're drinking it, all right? Or drugs, whatever it might be. Now, some of those can open the doors for demon possessions, such as drugs and so forth. And then I think Mike covered it earlier in people going to seances or Ouija boards or channeling and New Age channeling and so forth. Those things can open you up, or the worship of false gods. Paul says these idols that you're worshiping, you're actually worshiping demons. And so people can become demon possessed as they invite that entity into their lives. But as a born-again believer, we know we're not going to do that. We're going to live for the Lord. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And thus, we put on the full armor of God, and we're ready to fight against the enemy. And this is one other aspect that Paul says. He says that we're to take our thoughts captive in Christ, because the enemy tries to come in and give us bad information, or we're to test the spirits. What kind of spirit is it? Is it coming from? Is it a spirit of error, a spirit of wickedness trying to deceive me or trick me and lead me away? And again, Jesus taught us a great lesson there in Matthew chapter 4 when he fought against the devil in the wilderness. He says, it is written, it is written, it is written. This is why we so emphasize all believers learning the word of God, because it is your offensive weapon against the enemy, which is the sword of the spirit, the Bible says, in the armor of God. And also it is the shield of faith, which we're able to quench those fiery darts of the wicked one. And faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And thus we engage ourselves in this spiritual warfare on a daily basis. So we both believe that a Christian cannot be demon possessed. You can be harassed. You can be led astray by the enemy as he tries to deceive you through false teachers and false prophets, false teachings and so forth. And so it's important for us to be in the word of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Amen. So I hope that answers it for you, Gilbert.
Yes, sir. Hey, and don't send me. I already got your stuff. I got it before, so I got all that. So you don't have to, you know, send any more. And I got there about 2 months or a month ago. I got some stuff. You sent me some. I was on the air.
Well, wonderful, Gilbert, and keep going for Jesus. Great, as we see so many wonderful things right now being fulfilled in Scripture, as we know Jesus is coming soon to take his church home. Stay online. We'll get you taken care of if you need anything else. Otherwise, God bless you, and thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Brian, Lake Tahoe. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Daryl Skinner. Nice to hear from you guys and talk to you here. I was doing a follow-up on the woman that called Tuesday that had the dream about the angels carrying the American flag, marching. And then they turned around, and when they were marching back, they had the flag held down low. Well, I had that same dream. Just letting her know she's not alone on that one.
Wow. Well, no, I believe that God does speak to people, and certainly America is walking away from God, and we're seeing the foolishness now. Joe Biden has really turned his back on Israel, even though the Congress approved the aid for Israel's military. Joe Biden double-crossed Israel, and this ain't good. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree with you 100%, Mike. This nation needs to support Israel, and especially this fight against the terrorist nation that was right on their border, the Gaza Strip, because as you look to what they had done, they used hospitals as their military operations, they used schools, they used civilians. It's just a tragedy that these people there in that little Gaza Strip have been duped, and they voted for this terrorist organization. But you vote for what you believe in, right? And thus Israel has every right to go in and do its business against Hamas and against the people of Palestine and try to some way, somehow not kill the innocent. And that's a difficult task when you're up against an enemy who's made the entire Gaza Strip its military base. But these things that we see happening in these last days in our world, it's just signs of the times that the Lord is coming very, very soon. I look forward to his soon return. But what do we do in the meantime? As Mike always says, we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be preaching the gospel. We need to be making disciples. Every Christian needs to be involved in their church in these last days, helping, serving, blessing, and then also soul winning, reaching out to those who are lost, inviting them to church and getting them going for God. Because these are the last days. The great tribulation is coming, and it's going to be absolutely horrific. What you see is happening in Israel right now in the Gaza Strip is horrible. It's awful. But you know what? The tribulation period is going to be probably twice, five times as worse, 10 times as worse as what's going on right now. So it's time of salvation, and let's win souls. Mike?
Amen. So I hope that helps.
Well, on the dream itself, you know, I don't think the United States is going to go down by nuclear holocaust. I think it's more like the New World Order coming in, and there's not going to be a United States of America. They're going to call it something else for the Antichrist to be satisfied. Everybody, you know, the New World Order, one government, one monetary system, one world religion, one great big earth globe, you know, no United States, no England.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true. And what's really strange is we do find in the original dream, going back to the book of Daniel, the last world governing empire that Daniel saw in that great statue was feet of iron and clay. It talks about 10 nations that are held together with the clay, and just as clay does not stick to metal, so it won't stick together either, and it'll be a democratic type of union. I think there will still be countries, but they'll have a global governance involved. Now, what is a little bit concerning is the United States is not directly mentioned in any biblical prophecy that I can see. Russia is mentioned, the land of Gog and Magog. We certainly find the kings of the East speaking of, and that in the original language is kings of the land of the rising sun. The kings of the East translates from the Greek into the English. They use the word kings of the East, but in the original, it's the land of the rising sun. Now, it's noteworthy that we know that the Euphrates River is going to dry up, and then this army of 200 million is going to come across to the Valley of Megiddo to make war against, well, first of all, each other, and then against the Lord himself. So we realize that. We find Ethiopia, Libya, the Balkan states mentioned, but we do not find the United States mentioned. And I think that's rather curious because of the global dominance that America has had for the last 150 years to not even be mentioned, even in any way brought up. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, Mike, when we talk about that iron mixed with clay, which is great insight that you just gave in regards to these last days, we have the revived Roman Empire representing the iron, because the iron legs represented the Roman Empire, divided into two empires, and then it just kind of went dormant and demised. And now we see it revived once again with the European Union and so forth, and the global elites and their goals of having a one world government. So that would be the iron mixed with clay coming out of the revived Roman Empire and spreading across the whole world. And and this is great opportunities, folks, for us to share our faith, because the Bible is alive. It is screaming at us from the Old Testament prophets to the New Testament and Jesus and the apostles. It is screaming at the world. It is screaming at believers to share our faith, because we have the truth and the truth will set them free. So these are great opportunities that we're seeing happening right before our very eyes. Take the word of God, have people read it, and then explain it to them. They'll say, what does that mean? Well, let me share with you what it means. And open their eyes. The Bible says Satan is blinded in the minds of them which believe not in the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. And we have to open their eyes, but it takes an effort. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're going to share our faith. And then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We're going to share. We're going to learn. They're going to grow. And hopefully they're going to come to salvation in Jesus. Amen. Mike?
Amen. Hope that helps, Brian.
Yeah, I just wanted to let the lady know she's not alone on that dream. So,
Interesting.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. We are absolutely living in these very last days. And so we want to be about our Father's business every way we can. Stay online. Brian sent you out some books and DVDs. I'd like to once again remind you, if you're on the Big Island of Hawaii, if you go south out of Hilo to Sure Foundation Church in Keaau, Hawaii, I'll be finishing up the Book of Revelation tonight in person. And so I'd love to meet you before we turn back to the mainland. And so that's tonight at 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock at Sure Foundation Church, Highway 30 on the road to Pahoa. As you leave Hilo going south, when you get to Keaau, go towards Pahoa, and about halfway to Pahoa, which is only like 10 miles down, Pahoa is about 10 miles. We're going to finish up the Book of Revelation. Whoa. Chapters 21 and 22. Oh man. Really great. The final wrap. That's tonight. 6 o'clock. It's at Sure Foundation Church there in Keaau, Hawaii. Come on up on a break, everyone. Don't go away. We'll have a whole lot more right after this.
Preborn is making Mother's Day possible 280,000 times and more.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Preborn's network of clinics rescues 200 babies every day by introducing mothers to their preborn babies. You see, when a woman considering abortion meets her precious baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she is 80% more likely to choose life. To learn more about their life-saving work, call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. We're going to go back to the phone. We have Darlene on the line in Redding, California. Hi, and welcome.
Hello there. Hello to you both.
How may we help?
My My daughter, she's 46. She has been attracted to females since the third grade. And she doesn't feel like it's a sin. I guess I'd like to know, why does those feelings start so young? And trying to convince her it is wrong in God's eyes, but she doesn't want to believe it. And we are getting so close to the Lord's return, and she's been battling. There's a battle going on in her. She's very suicidal now. So if you could pray for her too,
well,
before we hang up.
Darryl, your thoughts.
Our hearts go out to you, number one, Darlene, and we will certainly pray for your daughter. When it comes to homosexuality and the lifestyles of whether it be female to female or male to male, it is sin, just like adultery is sin and sex outside of marriage is sin and so forth. God did not design us to have a life of with women with women or men with men. If that was the way we're all to go, then we'd become extinct. So it goes against nature itself. And of course, I'm sure you're familiar with Romans chapter 1, and we talk about 1 Corinthians 6 and so forth, those passages. And what do I do when I have a child who's now an adult, of course, that's in this type of sinful lifestyle? Well, we pray. And then we share with them the word of God, and we don't back down. This is the number one key. You share the truth in love. You speak the truth in love, as the Bible says, but you can't back down. You got to hold your ground. And this is a great problem with the homosexual community, as well as transgenders, of course. And the problem is there's a lot of alcoholism in these communities. There's a lot of drug addictions in these communities. There's also a lot of domestic violence in these communities. And there's also a lot of suicides. Now, when I use the term a lot of, meaning it's more than the normal heterosexual community, and thus they're struggling. They're struggling mentally. They're struggling emotionally. They're struggling many times physically because they've gotten some type of a disease from the homosexual experiences. And this is the tragedy of it all. And we're looked at as, oh, we're just trying to make everybody feel guilty and so forth, and you need to have more compassion. Well, compassion is to speak the truth in love. And this lifestyle is destroying them. And we're trying to help them. We're trying to bring them out. And only the power of Jesus Christ can satisfy their soul and their longing to be loved. Because God's love is a perfect love. And God's forgiveness is a perfect forgiveness. His goodness is there for them each and every day. His mercies are new every morning. And God wants to set your daughter free, as well as all homosexuals free. But this is what God has to do. They have to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. So I want to encourage you, Darlene, as a mom, and your heart is broken, I'm sure, that you just keep loving her, keep blessing her, keep reaching out to her, but don't compromise what you're sharing with her, that she needs to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. It's so vitally important. I always tell people, we love our children, whatever they're doing, and we're going to love them, but we may not like what they're doing, but we cannot love them to hell. We have to love them to heaven. That means we have to hold our ground, speak the truth, and never compromise what we believe. Because then that gives the enemy a door in their hearts to say, see, I'm okay. No, you're not okay. And I thank God for the people that shared me honestly and confronted me with my sins where I came to Jesus Christ for salvation. So I'd just like to encourage you there. Of course, we're going to pray for you in a moment, pray for your daughter in a moment. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Amen. Well, and again, we'll be glad to pray for, because again, the Bible says there is a God-shaped void inside of every person, and we will try to put everything imaginable into that God-shaped void to find satisfaction for life. The things that people will do, the places people will go, the things people will try is just staggering to fill that God-shaped void. And so I believe that's what she's wrestling with, Darlene, more than anything else, is purpose for life and to be loved. That's what we all want. And we turn to spouses, male or female, never finding what we really need, because they cannot supply what we need. It only can come from God. You know, we say we want unconditional love. Well, everybody does, but only God loves us unconditionally. Everybody else, there's usually a condition. I love you if. And God says, I love you, period. And that's so important. Can we pray for your daughter, Darlene?
Oh, Debbie, thank you.
Father, we just lift up Darlene's daughter to you. We just ask you that you would bring her into the realization that you are God, that you love her. Father, the things that she's looking for outside of your best for her, Lord, that you would cause her to find dissatisfaction. And Lord, we pray for her soul, that you would bind Satan from her mind, that she would understand the great and wonderful promises that you offer her in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, may you reach out to her, save her, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Darlene, our prayers are with you.
Mike, if I could add one last thing.
Go ahead.
Because I noticed the one thing that Darlene said, that she had these feelings, I think you said when she was in the third grade. A lot of times people that are caught up in this lifestyle, they'll go back to their childhood and they'll say, well, I've always had these feelings, because they're trying to justify themselves in that sinful relationship or lifestyle, I should say. And you go, well, we all have all kinds of feelings when we're young. We all do. But you know what? Feelings that don't match up with the facts of God's word are wrong feelings. There's good feelings and there's wrong feelings. And so we have to explain that to them. But they'll always throw that back because, oh, I was a child and I made that. Well, you made the decision when you're a child. Most children don't know the right decisions to begin with. And that's why God has the greatest decision of all, is to come to Christ and follow his word, and he'll bless your life and you'll be at peace. And this is one thing that the folks in the homosexual community do not have. They don't have the peace of God. And so we pray for them that they would come out of that lifestyle, as well as heterosexuals doing the same, as they're in their involved sins and unbelief and lifestyle. And they'd all come to the peace, the Prince of Peace, if you will, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mike?
Amen. I hope that helps.
Oh, thank you very much.
Darlene, stay online. I'll send you out some books, some DVDs, I think will be very instrumental in perhaps encouraging you. And also perhaps you can get those into the hands of your daughter, I think, may touch her heart. So stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Denise, Fort Worth, Texas. Hi and welcome.
Hello. With all the new non-denominational churches popping up, when searching for a church as a new follower, how do you make sure the church you are attending / visiting is not a prosperity gospel-based church?
Okay, Daryl, your thoughts.
That's a great question. Denise, as we look to what I've discovered in their messages is this. They'll start off with a nice message, and then about halfway through, they start talking about money, and then they'll conclude by you giving to their ministry or whatever it might be, or how if you give $10, God's going to give you $100. You give $100, God's going to give you $1,000. It's like almost an auctioneer. But it's fascinating. You know, in 2 Peter, I'll share this quick little verse with you. It says here, Peter writes to us in 2 Peter chapter 2. He says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves with destruction. And now here's your key. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Then it says, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Covetousness, what? Coveting the materialism of this world. Coveting finances and money and so forth, that you just follow my teachings, you're going to be rich. Just plant your seed faith money with our ministry, and you're going to become filthy rich. And if you know what, you don't have enough faith, that's why you're not having the money. You got to give that money to our ministry. You know what? They're the ones that are liars and the cheats and the ripoffs, and they're the ones that Jesus would flip over the tables there in the temple. Because they're teaching the gospel as a gospel of greed, as a gospel of covetousness. When we become born again of the Holy Spirit and the work of Christ is taking place in our life, what is the purpose of the blessings of God? To turn us into the image of God, to develop the character of Christ within us. It's not about materialism. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And yet they say, oh, if you're a king's kid, you should be filthy rich and driving the best cars and wearing the Gucci clothes, whatever it is. And no, is that what Jesus taught? He never taught that. Did the apostles practice or teach that in the book of Acts? No, they didn't. Do we have instructions for that in the epistles? No, they're not. They're false teachers, they're false prophets. So the moment you see that thing swing to the money thing of money and your riches and give to our church, our ministry, then you know I'm out of here. Hopefully that helps, Mike. I'll give it back to you.
Amen. You just have to be real careful. I think really a lot of times the textual teaching of God's word is so important, verse by verse study. That's going to give you a pretty good indication if it's Johnny Hopscotch through the Bible. That can be dangerous. Now, that doesn't mean every church that doesn't teach that way, but there should be an ongoing verse-by-verse study in the church, like on Wednesday night or Sunday night. Now, Calvary Costa Mesa years ago, Chuck Smith would teach maybe two or three chapters on a Sunday night, and then out of those two or three chapters on Sunday morning, he would center on a particular part of those two chapters and talk about it, up kind of zoom in on it, if you will. I think that's really a good way to do that. Where you want to be careful of is just people that are just going through, just trying to prove a point without really giving you the background of the chapter in which the verse is taken. Somebody said one time, you can make the Bible say whatever you want to. And that's true. And I've shared this many, many times on the radio here this week even. You know, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So let's go out and rob banks. That isn't what it says. It says I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. But in the context, things that pertain to the kingdom of God. So I think you have to look at that. And their focus of what they are. I'll send you a little book called Time to Grow. And it covers the basics, but, you know, do they believe in salvation? Do they have baptism? Do they teach the entirety of God's word? Do they teach the book of Revelation? I know many churches today won't teach. Well, it's too divisive, or I don't even know why it's canonized. It's all kooky talk to me. Run from those kind of churches. They're not giving you the full counsel of God's word. Oh, but they're so nice. It doesn't matter how nice they are. Do you want buggy springs on your buggy as you're on your way to hell? You want to stand for what's right. And this is where we have to go back to what the word of God says. The Bible says we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, not just the minister's favorite topics. So I hope that helps, Denise.
Yes, it does. And I think your statement about making the Bible say what you want it to say, as a new reader of the Bible and one that doesn't understand all of it, that's where I have to be careful right there.
Well, I see you're in Arlington. Are you in Arlington, Fort Worth?
Yeah, near there.
Well, a church I would recommend is, Turning Point Church, which is in Fort Worth, Texas. And, I would say to maybe go there, because I think that that's a good fellowship there. Jeff Wickwire is the pastor who was on with me yesterday on Every Man an Answer, and he's not too far from you. And if you go there, he could probably, if it's a little too far to drive, direct you to a Bible-believing church in the area.
Okay, yes, I listen to him also. So,
yeah, and he's in Fort Worth there, and so maybe just go by and see him on a Sunday morning and see what you find there. Stay online, Denise. I'll send you out some books, some DVDs that will help you navigate through this time of your life, okay?
All right, thank you.
God bless you, dear. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to John, Tennessee. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
How may we help?
Yeah, I'm looking at chapter 2 in Revelation, verse 6, and also verse 15. Verse 6, first of all, states that this you have, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. And verse 15 says, thus you have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. My question is, what is the deed and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans?
Well, we don't know a lot about them other than what the name says. Now, Nicole is priesthood over laity, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, laity. Priesthood over a man. Now, there are churches today, the Catholic Church and some others, that establish priesthood over men. You don't just go when you sin, as the Bible says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No, you've got to go to a confessional where a priest that has been established over you makes intercession for you. That's not biblical. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus. And so, based upon the name Nicolaity, Nicole again, meaning men, laity or priesthood, and then laity, man, priesthood over man, we would have to conclude, based on the name, that it has to do with a spiritual hierarchy, and God hates that. Why? Because when he taught the disciples to pray, he said, when you pray, pray in this manner, our Father. Isn't it amazing? God wants us to relate to him as a father, not some unknowable deity beyond the stars, but as a father where we come to him. Paul says we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Daddy. That's the relationship with God. God wants to have with us, not to go through a man or an organization or a committee or anyone else. We have Jesus Christ, our high priest, that we go directly to. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, these deeds and doctrine of the Nicolaitans, as Mike was just sharing, it is the control over the laity hierarchy that's when we look at the Roman Catholic Church, we see the Pope and so forth. He refers to himself as Holy Father, and Jesus has called no man Father except for your Father which is in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And this is not a good doctrine that the Roman Catholic has, because Peter refers himself in 1 Peter chapter 5, which they say Peter was the first Pope, but Peter refers himself as a fellow elder amongst all the elders, all the pastors and shepherds over the sheep. But you wouldn't want to call yourself Holy Father. Also, the popes throughout history have called themselves the Vicar of Christ, which this word vicar means I am the voice of Christ, and what I say has just as much authority of what Jesus Christ said as we have it in the four Gospels. That is not true. And they've created some very heretical teachings, such as praying to Mary, the doctrine of purgatory. They had indulgences going on where you can give money for your sins and pay for yourself to get off. And so this is a hierarchy with an authoritarianism that is wrong. And this was what's taking place there in Revelation chapter 2, from the deeds to the doctrines that you read about. And God does not like this. And then it's unfortunate that it's still going on today. And we pray for the Roman Catholic Church would stop this this type of hierarchy and these references to the Pope has for himself, as well as the various teachings that are against the Word of God. Praying to Mary. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's not one instance of Mary, anyone praying to Mary throughout the scriptures, from the Gospels to the book of Acts to the epistles. And also, Mary was not a perpetual virgin. We read that Jesus had brothers and sisters. And I think Joseph and Mary had a beautiful relationship, including the romantic aspect of the relationship, to provide those brothers and sisters of Jesus. So these are just a few aspects of the Roman Catholic Church. And we're not attacking them. We're just attacking the false doctrines that are found within the Roman Catholic Church. And so when you look at the deeds of Nicolaitans, you see similarities that take place. Mike?
Amen. So I hope that answers it for you.
Well, I'd like to back up on, you know, but it says on verse 15, the verse prior to it, it says you eat things sacrificed to idols and commit sexual immorality. Thus you have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. That's prior to verse 15. I thought that may have something to do with it, of immoral to repent. They want you to repent.
Yes, I agree. And this is why, unfortunately, in the Catholic Church, they would actually sell indulgences. So you could sin by buying the right to sin. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, when you look to, unfortunately, in the Roman Catholic Church, you see idolatry taking place, whether it be statues of Mary that people put in their houses or in their cars, even on their dashboard, Mary, protect me. They may think that a crucifix might want to be protecting them. I have nothing against people wearing a cross because it, many times it's a testimony of their faith. But you don't put faith in that piece of jewelry and so forth. And you don't put faith in praying to a statue. The scriptures talk about they have eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear, mouths that cannot speak. It's a statue. And we're never told to pray to a statue or to Mary. And this is what we call idolatry. I remember being in the Philippines. They had a statue of Jesus in a glass coffin and his feet were sticking out. And they'd all come by and kiss the feet of that statue of Jesus as a thing of homage and just going to get them into a better standing with God. It's unfortunate that Roman Catholic churches teaches these superstitions and they don't stop them. Then there's the aspect of the apparitions of Mary, where they go to Fatima, Medjugorje, and other places, and millions of Catholics go there and they're waiting to hear the voice of Mary speak to them. It's not the voice of Mary. It's the voice of a demon. And yet they say it's Mary. And it's just like Paul says, watch out. They're going to come to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. They're going to come to you with another gospel. They're going to come to you with another Jesus. They're coming to you with another Holy Spirit. What's he talking about? They're counterfeits. These are counterfeits. They'll use the name, but it's a counterfeit. So we have to recognize these things as believers in God. And then also to keep you don't want to be engaged in sexual immorality. Jesus said you must be born again of the Holy Spirit. I used to party hardy with so many of my Catholic friends. I wasn't saved. I was just a pure heathen. And they'd go to confessional on Saturday night. Then we go out and party hardy, go crazy. And then the next Saturday, hey, I can't party yet. I got to go to my confessional. Okay, well, tell me when you're done. We'll get together. And that's like, are you kidding me? And then all of a sudden, you know, I became born again. I realized what a true Christian was. And so, you know, religion doesn't save us, whether it be Protestant religion or a Catholic religion. Jesus saves us. It's a personal relationship with him. And that's where we will repent of our sins. We want to turn from immoral ways into godly ways and live for him. So hopefully that helps. And understanding the whole process of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Mike?
John, hope that helps.
Yeah, that helped pretty well. Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Thanks so much. Stay in line if you like. Send you out a little booklet called 101 Last Days Prophecies. I think you might enjoy that, sharing it with your friends. And let's go to Austin in Irvine, California. Hi and welcome.
Hey, nice to hear from you guys again. How's everything?
Good. How may we help?
Hi, I was calling because, you know, obviously America's going through quite the spiritual war. And, you know, Jesus taught us that for people who choose not to accept his sacrifice, the world is going to be, you know, their best experience before they go to hell. For Christians, the world is going to be the closest we get to hell, so long as we continue to accept Jesus's blood. And thinking of the verse, I started to wonder what the Bible says about Christians enforcing our standards onto those who don't believe, whether or not it would be righteous to let non-believers live how they want to and, just do our best to educate them but not penalize them for going against God's word.
You cannot have society with that mentality. You see, societies, God made all of us, and he gave us the outline of how everything works. And if we go, well, you know, who's to say abortion's wrong? Who's to say drunkenness is wrong? You don't have society. You don't have a country. You don't have any cohesiveness that holds a nation together. God knows what takes, and when people violate those, the nation goes into slavery. So the whole nation does, not just spiritually speaking. I mean, you go into slavery. You look around the world today, people that have a nation, their laws are so bad. The people are so impoverished. This is exactly what we're talking about. People, nations, societies were designed by God. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, the book of Romans chapter 13 talks about civil government and what we're, how we're to react to those governments. And we want to institute laws that are righteous laws, not unrighteous laws, to protect society as a whole. And right now we're seeing ourselves fall apart because we have unrighteous rulers right now. The Bible says if we have righteous rulers, it'll exalt the nation and we'll have peace. This is why we do what we do, is being salt and light to this nation of, called the United States of America as Christians. Mike?
Amen. We're all out of time, everyone. God bless you. Hope to see you tonight at Sure Foundation in Kau, Hawaii. Daniel, Steve, Teresa, the rest, please call us. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. God bless you all. Austin, hope that answered for you. Stay in line. We'll send you out some books and DVD.
1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.